الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله Indeed all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Therefore we praise him We seek his assistance from the evil consequences of our deeds and our actions And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides No one could try to misguide that person And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses not to guide Through his infinite wisdom No one could try to guide that person. And I bear witness that there's no deity worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is his servant and messenger. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqati wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Or you who truly believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Lord, your creator, your sustainer, advises you to have taqwa, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you go on through your day, as you interact with others, when you interact with your phone, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you ought to be in this state, and do not leave this world except submitting to him in Islam. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدَ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا Or you who truly believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once again, your Lord, your Creator, advises you to have taqwa, to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to say righteous speech, upright speech. Don't lie, don't insult, don't talk about others that you should not be talking about. And if you're able to do that, Allah guarantees that He will rectify your deeds, forgive you for your wrongdoings. And whoever obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will indeed gain a great success, a great reward. Alhamdulillah, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has made it possible for us to gather on this beautiful day of Friday and to be in this masjid and be with this community. And then we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that had guided us to this deen of Islam, that we could recognize our Lord with all the other fog and all the other beliefs and false narratives out there, that Allah has given me and you clear vision of who our Lord is and how to worship Him. And the biggest benefit of this guidance is having the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as our guide, as our teacher to lead us on this way. And when we talk about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when we talk about his character and talk about who he was, one thing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said concerning this, he said that I was not sent, I'm paraphrasing the hadith, that I was not sent except to perfect character. That as if the main purpose for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to be sent to mankind was to perfect character. We all know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught more than just character. How to worship Allah, how to worship, how to dress, right? How to eat properly, etc. But here what the meaning of the hadith is that the pinnacle, the essence, is that the people's character gets purified, gets shaped, gets molded in a way that's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a big question that we ask all of ourselves is that why do we act the way we do and why do we behave the way that we do? If you look at the way that maybe you get angry, maybe the way that you get frustrated, the way that what you do when you get happy and elated and joyous, you see that there's a lot of factors that come in and shape how you act in that way. If you go to the psychologists, and they have a plethora of research and different things they have spoke about this, they'll say there's a numerous amount of factors that shapes a person's actions. Some say genetics, environment, parenting, education, what people read and what people learn about. There's a multiple of different things. And so we look at our own self and we see that, you know, this is certain things that are pulling on the way that we act, the way that we behave. And going back to the hadith that I just mentioned here, is that the main thing that me and you, my dear brothers and sisters, when we talk about the way that we behave, we want to see if it's aligning to the criteria, and that is the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam acted. As being the best of mankind, as being uswatun husana, that the perfect example for us to follow. So when we look at that and we say, you know what, inshallah ta'ala, we look and we see how can we mold our character. Not the way that I saw someone on TV do, and not the way the dress, see that because the ads say they need to dress this way, and not the way we get angry when someone cuts us off on the freeway because we saw someone else do it, so we do the same thing also. Is that we ask ourselves, what will the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do in this time? And there's a lot of things that comes in terms of acting that way. Number one is, do we even know the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would act? How would he behave in certain ways? And how would he do in this certain situation? And for my dear brothers and sisters, that comes with education. That comes with learning. That comes with reading. That comes in the lectures, the talks, the hadith, about who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was and the way that he acted. And it's always beautiful to read these stories and the way that he interacted with people. A lot of times you think he's going to do one thing and he does the opposite, subhanAllah. And that could be the way that we think things should be done and the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way he is guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will see a lot of times in our life that we're going to have to deal sometimes with harsh people. Deal with people that are ill-mannered. Some people that, you know what, you'd rather just leave alone and go the opposite way because you just really don't want to interact with them. Because it's going to lead into an argument or some type of an issue. So it's better we just, you know, not interact. And actually that might be the solution for some of these situations. But there's an interesting hadith of the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam interacted with people, as mentioned in Sahih Bukhari and others. That one time he was in his house, and he was sitting with his wife, Aisha, radiallahu anha. And then a man came to his door. And he could see from the door out who that person was. And he was a leader from a tribe that came to talk to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he was known to have very bad manners, ill behavior. And so, as the commentary on this hadith mentions, that people used to call him al-ahmaq al-muta', the foolish one that is obeyed. And foolish is you could define the word ahmak in multiple ways. But this is who the person was that comes to the Prophet's door. I don't know about me and you, but I don't let anyone just come in the house that we, whether they're, you know, just knocks on the door, who they are, right? You want to know, someone's going to come in your house, you want to make sure they're respectful, who they are, etc. And you entertain them that way. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees this man and tells his wife, he tells Aisha radiallahu anha, he said, "Bitsa akhul ashira, Wabitsa ibn Ashira. He said that this man is the worst of the brothers of his tribe, and he is the worst of the sons of his tribe. The Prophet ﷺ covered all the lineage up and down. Pretty much that this is the worst person. And I don't know about you, but this is the last person you want to come in your house is the worst person in Garden Grove, or the worst person in Westminster, or the worst person in Irvine that comes to your door. You probably won't answer it. I mean, most people don't answer their doors these days. But here the Prophet ﷺ tells Aisha radiallahu anha, his wife, this is the man that's at my door. So what does the Prophet ﷺ do? Don't answer it. He comes and invites the man in. The man sits down. The Prophet ﷺ sits down with the man and acts politely with him, smiles with him, talks to him nicely, and then he leaves. So Aisha radiallahu anha is sitting there observing the Prophet ﷺ's behavior, the way he acted. And she's kind of confused because she just knew that what the Prophet ﷺ just said about the man, that he's the worst of his tribe. So she's like, why did you not, you know, advise him? Why didn't you tell him this or tell him that? So she tells the Prophet ﷺ, you know, you told me this, you told me that, who this person was, but you sat down and you were smiling with him and you were polite with him. What's the story there? The Prophet ﷺ answers his wife by saying, Ya Aisha tu. Mata ahidani fahasha. Ya Aisha, when have you seen me act indecent and ill-mannered? Did you really think I was going to do that back to this guy, even though that's his state, that's who he is, that I go down to his level is a common statement that we hear, right? Don't act at the level of that person. She says, why, don't you know that, do you ever see me act like this? And then he says something very interesting. He says, Inna sharrun nasi indallahi man zalatana yawm al-qiyamati man tarakahu an-nas ittiqa sharrahu. The Prophet ﷺ tells Aisha something very interesting. I want all of us to pay attention to this last statement here. He says that the worst people in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment are those people that people leave because of their evil. That they don't want to deal with them because of their evil and who they are. So the last thing the Prophet ﷺ wants to be in that category, one way we can understand the hadith, that he will talk evil to him and be ill-mannered with him, which is not the character of the Prophet ﷺ, first of all, that he won't ever come back and talk to him. But the worst person, he says, are the people that people leave because of their evil. They don't want to deal with them. I don't know if you ever met these type of people before sometimes. You know, you might come, it's better just not to talk to them because it's going to start into what? An argument. There's going to be some type of dispute. It's better just to leave them. The last thing we want to do, a'udhu billah, is be in that category there. But look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even though this person's at that category, he still invites them in. Remember I talked about how do we develop our actions? How do we develop our behavior, right? How many of us would open the door to the worst person in Garden Grove that comes and knocks on their door? I don't know about you. But this is the Prophet's heart. This is his character and who he was and the way that he acted with these other individuals. We also see another thing, the way the Prophet somehow he acted with others and his behavior. You know, one thing is that as a prophet, his main goal was to deliver the message. And he really cared for the people. And you notice this through all the stories of the prophets in the Quran. They really cared for their people. Ad, Thamud, Midian, right? The people of Fir'aun, Musa alayhi salam, they really cared for guiding the people, even though the people were evil to an extent. But the main job was to guide them and to help them. And if one person would accept that message, that meant the world to them. That they will go all out just to care for them. And one thing you see, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he loved being in the service of others. I don't know if you've ever been to a gathering where you see a person, they serve everyone else the food, but they don't eat. And everyone else tells them, why don't you eat? They're like, no. And actually, no, they get more enjoyment of feeding others than actually eating themselves. Because that's what actually, the happiness they see in other people's face, it fills them up. That's it. I don't need to actually eat the food, but I see you enjoying. I see that you're enjoying your time. That's all. That's all I wanted to see. A lot of parents are like that. A lot of hosts, hopefully, are like that. But the Prophet ﷺ was out. That was kind of like his character, if I could make that analogy. And what's always interesting when you read the hadith and you see how the Prophet ﷺ would interact with Bedouins. Bedouins were Arabs at that time that lived in the countryside, if you will. And they were a little bit rough in their mannerism, a little rough in their dialogue, because they had a little bit of harsh life than those who lived in the city. And we go to this hadith that makes very, very interesting, where this Bedouin comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And you know what? They're kind of poor. That you'll see a lot of them are very nomadic. They're quite poor. They need some sadaqat. They need some charity. And so he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and says, you know, can I have some sadaqat? Can I have some financial help? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives this man some food, his need, his money, and takes care of him. And then the hadith mentions, Anas radiallahu anhu narrates this hadith saying that the iqamah was made for Salatu Aisha. The iqamah, the time to come to pray Salatu Aisha, was made. And the Sahaba started making lines for the prayer. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam starts walking up to lead the prayer. But guess what? This man comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and says, that same desert Arab, the Bedouin, comes and says, you know what? Biqiya minni haja al-yasira. That, you know what? There's a little bit more that I need from you. Can you give me a little bit more? I want all of you guys to picture this. The iqamah was made for Salat Aisha. People are waiting in the line here. And the man comes and stops the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, you know, can you give me a little bit more? I could know if I could take a poll and ask everybody, what do you think, what should be the answer in that situation? Some might think, you know what, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should say, you know what, why don't you pray with us? And then after we could meet and I could help you out. Or you know what, why don't you wait 5 more minutes and the prayer is not too long, and I'll meet you after, we could take care of your need. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is different. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because he cares so much for that person, leaves with him and goes and gives him his need while the Sahaba are lined up for salah. He gives him his need, and then he comes back and joins the prayer and joins the line and starts the prayer. It's mentioned in some narrations that the Sahaba were waiting so long that they fell asleep. They didn't know where the Prophet ﷺ went. Where did he go? What time is he coming back? That they fell asleep, they're waiting, and then finally they saw him and they woke up. Look at the Prophet ﷺ, subhanAllah. That he, the need of that person, of that Bedouin, was greater than what? The prayer that was starting. Not saying that we don't pray, obviously, we all know that. But we know the prayer obviously has a window to pray. But the need of that person was greater to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his heart. So he took care of that need, subhanAllah. What type of love do you have for people to not come up to the salah and go take care of someone else? And how that important was, subhanAllah. You know, I was talking to some individuals, I say, you know, if that would happen today, Dr. Siddiqui walks in, you know, they have a line for Aisha, and then someone grabs him and says, you know, can I talk to you? Can you help me out? What do you think the outcome would happen? Would someone just jump in and say, you know, I'm going to lead the prayer. We don't know where he's at. Let's go, let's start the salah. Come on. Or, you know, we can't wait. It's 1 minute after the time on the prayer time. So, you know what? That's it. There's a one-time grace period, and that's 1 minute grace period, and let's get on. What would people do? But here it said, look at subhanAllah, how the Sahaba, they waited, number one. And look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He loved people so much to help them that he would care and he would lead that salah and he would come back, of course, and pray because he was more dear to us. That is the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even though, like, there were certain individuals, he wanted to care for people, he wanted to help people. And this, inshallah ta'ala, is something that we can mold our heart and our actions. We are here now looking at other individuals, especially during this time of trials and hardships, that inshallah ta'ala we could fulfill someone else's need. أَقُولِي كَوْلِ هَذَا أَسْتَغْفِرْ وَرَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Last thing I would like to mention before we close up on the khutbah. When we talk about how the way that we act and the way we develop our character and why we do the things we do, one thing that the factor that, you know, some of the social scientists will say is that people do what they'll do and they'll mimic what who they love the most or who they follow the most, their best influencer that they watch the most, right? It influences them. It creates their habits. It creates their actions. And one thing we see in this deen, that we see multiple times, is having the love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is that the understanding is that if we love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more that we increase that, and we should increase that for multiple reasons, the more that inshallah the result would be that we would mimic our actions as the way he was. That we would want to follow his steps, we would want to follow his way that he ate, the way he slept, the way he treated his spouse, etc. And that is the whole kind of concept behind that, amongst other things, if you will. Of course, being the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is another major aspect. But one thing we also have to understand is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved me and you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved me and you. A lot of times we talk about the opposite of loving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we should, that's important. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved and wanted to see me and you in here in Garden Grove, in Irvine, Westminster, the young and the old. He wanted to see us. And he really cared for us. And of course, none of us here ever met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously, being passed, you know, passed away 1400 plus years now. But here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a very interesting hadith that's mentioned in the collection of Nasa'i, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one time went with the Sahaba to a graveyard. And he was looking at the graveyard and he was making dua for those who were buried there, for the deceased and for the mercy upon them. And then he says something very interesting. He says, إِنِّي قَدْ رَأَيْتُ إِخْوَانِي. That he says to the Sahaba that I wish that I would have seen my brothers. I wish that I would have seen what? My brothers. So the Sahaba were quite confused, because those who passed away in that graveyard, they met the Prophet ﷺ, so he couldn't be talking about them. And the Sahaba are around the Prophet ﷺ, and they're like, hey, we're right here. So you saw us already. So they are confused about who is he talking about. So they asked the Prophet ﷺ, قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَلَسْنَا إِخْوَانَكَ. Oh, Ya Rasulullah, aren't we your brothers? Right? Aren't we your brothers? You see us right now. The Prophet ﷺ answers that question, where he says, بَلْ أَنْتُمْ أَصْحَابِي وَلَكِنْ إِخْوَانِي لَمْ يَأْتُوا بَعْدِ. He says, you, all of you are my companions, أَصْحَابِي. That's why we call him Sahaba. We keep his companionship. But my brothers are the ones who have not come yet. They will come after I pass away. The Prophet ﷺ is saying that I wish I would see those individuals. Now, what's so special about those individuals? What's so special about me and you? There's a lot of things about special about me and you. But one thing is that we believed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're talking about his actions in 2022. Still the way that he interacted with Bedouins and what he did this and that. And without ever meeting him. Without ever seeing him. That he's still that and super important for multiple reasons. And our love for him, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, these individuals who have not met me, but they believed in my message. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after saying this, the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, how would you know those individuals? You know Abu Bakr, you know Umar, you know Uthman, you know how they look like. So when they meet again, on where? On Yawm al-Qiyamah, he would recognize Abu Bakr. He lived with him. That's his best friend. He'll see them. But the Sahaba were saying, how would you recognize those individuals in Garden Grove, Irvine, this place and that place, the Muslims then, how would you know them? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, he gave them an analogy of a horse that makes much more sense to them than us. But he said, if you had a horse with a white streak on it and white hooves on their leg, and whiteness on their legs and their hooves, amongst other horses, wouldn't it be either easy to pick them out? The Sahaba said, yes. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, that my brothers, the Muslims will come on that day, غُرًّا وَمُحَجَّلِينَ مِنَ الْوُضُوءِ, that they will come on the day of judgment. غُرًّا means that they will have light coming out from their temple area of their head. And they will be shining from the areas of where they made wudu. That's how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recognize me and you. And that's how he would meet us. You ever think about this? The first time that we're ever going to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be at this moment. Do you ever think about that? That all the times, the first time ever you were ever going to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be the time when we're resurrected and everyone's chaos is going on. And there's going to be so much chaos and madness going on, and we ask Allah to give us mercy at that time. But one thing to look forward to amongst all the chaos is this is the first time we're ever going to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he's the one looking out for us, actually. Subhanallah. And so once again, my dear brothers and sisters, when we talk about how molding our character, the way we interact with others, with their needs, our wives, our children, our spouses, our husbands, those in our community, right? The rahmah the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for others, inshallah ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to instill that into our heart. Ya Kareem, Ya Rabbil Alameen. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to help us to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help us mold our character of the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam acted and he acted upon. Ya Kareem, Ya Rabbil Alameen. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to forgive us for our wrongdoings. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to help our brothers and sisters in the world that might be suffering, Ya Kareem, Ya Rabbil Alameen. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are sick amongst us, we ask you to give them shifa. And those who have passed away amongst us, we ask you to enter them into your jannah, Ya Kareem, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Rabbana la tu'akhidna in nasina aw akhtana. Rabbana wa la tahmil alayna isran kama hamaltuhu ala alladhina min qablina. Rabbana wa la tuhammilna ma la tuwaqata lana bih. Wafu anna waghfirna warhamna. أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا يا كريم يا رب العالمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. This is a note that we have two janazas after the salah, so please stay afterwards. أقيموا الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Make your line straight, focus in your salah, praise it for your last prayer.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث الله أكبر سبحان سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده ربنا وبارك فيه الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر تحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات والسلام على وبركاته الصلاة السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام ومنك السلام As you mentioned, we have two janazas to, that are here. We have a baby girl that passed away, Layla. We'll have her janaza. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give patience to the family, inshallah, keep them strong, inshallah, may the baby be a means of their intercession to Jannah, Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. And we have another janazah for Sister Mu'azziz, Khorasan, and so we'll be praying these two, inshallah, ta'ala. The baby janazah will be at Melrose Abbey Cemetery, and Sister Mu'azziz will be at the Westminster Memorial. So please make the lines for janazah, inshallah. Yeah, it's right here, yeah. You can put it in here. Oh, no, it's right here. If any of the family want to move forward, you can, inshallah ta'ala. Mm-hmm. Yeah, ask them. Salat and janazah is 4 takbirat, as you all know. I will not go over all the details, inshallah, you prayed janazah before. Focus on your salat, make dua for the deceased. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Al-maghfir laha wa rahamha wa afiha wa afu anha wa aqrim nuzulaha wa sid muraqalaha wa naqqiha min al-khataya kama naqqiha min al-thawb al-anith min al-thawb al-anith أثوب من الدنس وأبدلها دار خير من دارها وأهلا خير من أهلها وعذها من عذاب القبر وعذاب النار وعذها من عذاب القبر وعذاب النار وأدخلها جنة وأدخلها جنة يا كريم يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعله فرة وذخرا لوالديه وشفاعا مجابا اللهم ثقل به موازينهما وأعذب بها أجورهما وألقها بصال المؤمنين واجعله من قفادة إبراهيم وقها برحمتك يا عذاب الجحيم. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to enter her into Jannah Firdaus, ya Kareem, ya Rabbil Alameen. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive her for any wrong that she has done, ya Rahman, ya Rahim. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to make her grave spacious and put the scent of Jannah in it, ya Rahman, ya Rahim. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the baby Layla who has passed away, we ask you to make her a means of intercession for her parents into Jannah, ya Rahman, ya Rahim. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant the parents and the grandparents patience, ya Rahman, ya Rahim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.